This word, charitable deed, if you check in some other translations, it actually refers to your practicing of righteousness. So it's, I think in the English, it sort of sounds like when you think of charitable deeds, you think like go feeding the homeless or helping the poor or things like that. But that's not really what it's talking about. It's, you know, when we are trying to put the word into practice and we are living by the Spirit and we want to serve the Lord, there's sometimes a temptation for us to look good in front of people. You want people to see, hey, I'm a pretty good Christian. You want to receive credit, like our brother was saying. You want recognition. You want, you know, you want praise. And this is a big problem. And for me, I've learned that this word has been very meaningful to me, that there are a lot of things that we do in the church to serve the Lord, to serve the saints. And there is a temptation. Sometimes I want to be noticed. And this is a big problem in a lot of Christian groups. Somebody wants to be somebody important. A brother, maybe a sister, somebody wants to be a somebody. You know, you want to be somebody important. You want to be recognized. And this is a very danger, big danger, because we never want to bring any attention to ourselves. And that's why I really like the verses in Matthew 16, where it talks about how it says here in verse 24, the Lord said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And this is an essential part of our serving the Lord, that ourself, we have to be on the cross. We have to die with the Lord. Colossians chapter 3 talks about it, that I have, right? Galatians 2, we talked about it too, right? Verse 20, that I have been crucified with Christ. And then Colossians 3, it says that we have died with Christ. There is no more of I anymore. So this is a basic truth in the constitution of the kingdom, that someone who is of the kingdom cannot, there, it has to be all Christ lived out. It cannot be me, because the kingdom of God is holy. It is all composed of Christ. There is nothing of myself, my old man anymore. Anytime I bring myself, my own ideas, my own glory, my own opinions and ways and that into the kingdom, then I'm defiling it. I'm contaminating it. The kingdom is holy. So this is why the Lord, no wonder it's in the constitution, the foundational law of the kingdom, that there cannot be anything of ourself in it. We do need to do, there are a lot of things to do in the church, but it's never to show off ourselves or never to bring glory to another.
Right.
So this is something that is very basic. And that's why he contrasts it with the Pharisees, because they want to be noticed. You know, they have they're dressed up, they look holy. They want people to see, oh, these are holy people, you know, but this is really not, this is what the Lord is showing, that the way of the kingdom is totally opposite to that.
Amen.
You know, sometimes I, you know, in the past, not anymore, but in the past, we used to have Christian bookstores. You go to the bookstore and you see somebody wrote a book, and on the cover of the book is their big face, right? And their name. They want to, you know, this is a great preacher. Everybody loves to hear him and buy his books. You know, yeah, maybe he did help people. Maybe people got saved. But this is bringing glory to man. We should never bring glory to man or
Amen.
Uplift man.
Amen.
We are just dust, like we were saying, right? In Psalm 8, what are we? What is man?
Yeah.
We're really nothing, but yet we make them something. So here, this is so different from those who followed the quote-unquote Old Testament law. It was all of the flesh, all of completely of the old man. Right, but here the Lord is bringing something totally different. There's nothing of that.
Amen.
It's completely of Christ and of and for the Father. Yeah. So even in the Lord's Prayer, the needs of the Father come before the needs of man. It's first glory to the Father, seeking first His will, what He wants done, and that will to be on the earth, and that's the whole point of the church. The church is here to carry out the will of God,
yes,
because nobody else will do it, right? To bring in His glory,
Amen.
Right? To bring it, to live out Christ. And then after that, we pray for our needs. But number one, the first thing is, and the more you grow as a Christian, the more you will care more and more about what God wants, and you will care less and less about yourself. Right? If you read about Paul, you can see how much he was, you know, he went through so much trouble and didn't have very much. He always put the needs of God and the church and the saints first. And even the Lord, he didn't even have a place to sleep. He didn't even have money to pay taxes. He had to make it come out of a fish. He wasn't worried about those things. He was number one worried about, or not worried, but his concern was the kingdom of God, preaching the kingdom, you know, and living an example and eventually victory over death and sin. That is what he was concerned about. Even seeking the Lord, Lord, please take away the cup of suffering of the cross from me, but not my will, but your will. You know, that is really how the people of the kingdom have to live. Yeah, so that is really, this is something that we all really need to know.
What I really appreciate in this chapter is that the Lord in this chapter reveals God as our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
It's amazing how often He mentions in this chapter, your Heavenly Father will reward you.
Amen.
And in the same chapter, He talks about the kingdom. So for me, it shows to see and know what is in God's heart, you need this relationship with your Father. Out of this relationship with our Heavenly Father, we will see also the kingdom. We will see also what is in God's heart. And then we will also learn how to pray. Everything we do must come out of this relationship with our Heavenly Father. Then you will not act like a hypocrite. If you pray to your Heavenly Father, you don't care about man. You don't care about seeing by man. If you have a relationship with the Heavenly Father and you have a hard desire to fast, you will do it with Him, not for man, and for His kingdom's sake. And that's why I appreciate the Lord teaches that we pray, our prayer has a direction to His kingdom. But this comes out of the relationship with Him, right? If you know His heart through the relationship with the Heavenly Father, you will pray according to His heart. You will pray for His kingdom. And even you, His kingdom becomes your life. And this is also my heart desire that the Lord changed my prayer.
Amen.
That I seek first His relationship and then I am for His kingdom.
Amen.
Amen.
You not a guest here.
No, I'm not a stranger.
You're not a stranger.
Not a guest. Well, you know, in Romans 8, oh, sorry. Okay. In Romans 8, I forget the verse, 26, I think, that we know not how to pray as we ought to pray. And we have a heavenly intercessor, the Lord Jesus, at the right hand of God, interceding for us according to the will of God. He knows the will of God. None of us know the will of God. It's revealed to us, but through the intercessor, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, interceding for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So none of us know how to pray as we ought to pray. We may think we know, and we may pray, but our prayer is not really a prayer. It's just for ourself, comes out of ourself, initiated for ourself, by ourself, and issues in vainglory, you know. So I'm really humbled by this fact that I don't know how to pray. So I really need to seek the Lord. And I really appreciate that word, our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And as our brother was sharing about our Father, I think, you know, when my children come to me for something, they know that I'm able and I have the resource to give them what they want. And our Father is rich. And he's rich in mercy. He can give us what we need. And I want to know him as my Father. And I want to believe in him that he will give what. But you know, I really appreciate that word that it's no longer I. But that takes time and a lot of dealing, yeah. Because it's always I. Unless the Lord has the way to deal with that self, and that's by the cross. I want to pray according to God's will, but I don't know his will until I get into his word. And in John 15:7, the Lord says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will. And what I will become is really according to God's will. Because God's word reveals the will, his will to me. But that word is abiding in me. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It has to abide in me. It has to become part of my inner being. And then I am a person that doesn't care for my own will. I care for God's will, and I give my life for God's will. This is the kind of person I want to be because God has done something in my being. And so the Lord Jesus, he said, I have come to do thy will, O God. He offered his body as a sacrifice. Who could do that? And as a man, he had to be sure this was the will of God. So he in the garden, as he's praying, not my will, but your will be done. And if it's possible, take this cup from me. This is the cup of God's wrath that we deserve. You know, he became a curse that we might receive the blessing. We deserve that curse. He suffered the wrath of God, the righteous, on behalf of the unrighteous. He did not deserve that. He knew no sin, but he took upon himself our sins and suffered God's wrath. So he knew what he was going to face. This cup is the cup of God's wrath that we deserve, and he drank that cup so that we would not have to drink it. So this was the will of God, and he proved the will of God, and we need to prove the will of God, but it's through his word that dwells in us, that abides in us. And as we come to eat his word, we want to do his will. So So it's no longer my will, but thy will be done, because it's no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. And I don't know how to pray. I don't know if I ever will know how to pray. But this means that I come to God depending on him to teach me. And, you know, the disciples, they ask the Lord, teach us how to pray. They don't know how to pray. And I really like that position, that I don't know, and I just come to him. So I read his word, so I know how to pray, so I know his will and can pray properly. If I don't pray according to his will, it's vain prayers, no matter how good it sounds. And, you know, naturally, we hear some news, someone is suffering, so we want to pray that they wouldn't suffer. But we don't know God's will, what he's going through. Maybe that person needs to suffer. You know, it's given to us not only to believe on the Lord, but also to suffer on his behalf. But I would never pray for suffering. You know, Elijah, he prayed in a prayer, and he prayed that it would not rain. And who would pray that it would not rain for 3.5 years? But this was God's will, and he knew it was God's will, and he prayed accordingly. And then he prayed later that it would rain. I don't know what else to say. I'm just... I don't know if I make a lot of sense. But anyway, when I don't... Okay, so the one good thing, when we come to the Lord like this, we really come into his presence. And we enjoy our Father, and we worship him. And that's... I think that's what it's all about.
It's one important point for me is that, for his glory, his kingdom is to express his glory and his glory on this earth. It's not our own glory. But just like the brothers shared very often, we want to have a glory from us, and we want to get, reward from man. And that is a big problem in ourselves, in our flesh. This is also a problem in the church life. So we should be a body. We also be the members of the body. And the head is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When people come to the church, should see the glory of God and not our glory.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And this is a warning for me very often, that I have to learn to pray to the Lord, guard my mouth, to only speak the truth, not nothing out of myself. And that is a training for all of us, because our flesh is very easy speak a lot of things out of ourselves.
Amen.
And just like Malachi mentioned, we are priests. Out of our mouth should be the truth. Our own mind cannot teach anybody, because our mind is fallen, is defiled. But only the word truth can teach other people. So therefore, I think most important thing is that I or we all can guard our mouths. Just like be touched by the cold from the altar.
Amen.
That is a wonderful experience. Every time, if you say something wrong, you can repent. There is always a way to come back to the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.